is the harvest home at Kerikeil. It was rather a showery evening. Surely one of the most rural chapels and places of worship in the island, up here on the Manx hillside, where once upon a time those who gathered the harvest in days gone by would have been very, very grateful indeed for a harvest gathered. Harvest in the uplands was never easy, usually later than the lowlands, and running into difficult weather, and they would have been very thankful indeed. And we're here carrying on that tradition, the tradition that was started long before their time, away back in the days of the Old Testament, when Moses commanded the people that he led, the Israelites, when they came through the wilderness and came into the promised land. He said to them, when you come into the promised land and you build fine houses of your own building, your herds and your flocks increase and everything is good for you, don't forget the Lord your God who brought you through the wilderness these 40 years. And you will bring offerings to God, as we have done tonight, thousands and thousands of years later, still acknowledging that he is indeed the Lord of the harvest. I make no apology for using the same sentences that I usually use to begin a harvest festival service, taken from the book of Genesis. After God had destroyed the earth by flood, he said, then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and he took ritually clean beasts and birds of every kind, and offered whole offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelt the soothing odor, he said within himself, never again will I curse the ground because of man, however evil his inclinations may be from his youth upwards. I will never again kill every living creature as I have just done. While the earth lasts, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall never cease. And for the continuing fulfillment of that promise, we sing our hymn of thanks, number 15, Come Ye Thankful People, Come Raise the Song of Harvest Home.
Oh.
our time of prayer together. Let us pray. God our Father, as we meet here in your presence, we pray that you will draw very close to us, that we may feel your nearness, that we may know we have come right to the foot of your throne of grace. And bless us as on this occasion we meet to offer you our praise and our thanksgiving. For tonight we are met specially to thank you for the harvest and all the related things with which you have blessed us. We worship and praise you because you are our God. We bless you because through Jesus Christ who died for us, we are your people. And we thank you tonight that throughout this earthly life which you have given us, you have also sustained us and provided for us. And so we bless you especially tonight for your creation, for all the things that we see around us that remind us of you and that confirm in our hearts our belief that you are alive and in your world today. We thank you for the glory of nature as we see it unfold as season succeeds season. And when we reach this time of the year, then your majesty is displayed in all its fruitful glory. That all the things that you planned have come to fruition. All the trees, plants, and herbs that you have given man for his use have blossomed and fruited and are ours for our use. We thank you then for your constancy and your faithfulness. We thank you for the good earth you have given us, for its fertility, and for the knowledge that you have imparted to men, for the labour of their hands that has brought forth the harvest from the earth. So we thank you for the crops that have been gathered from the fields, for the fruit from the orchards and the vegetables from the gardens, for all increase and growth, for all life, all held as a blessing from yourself. We thank you that you have provided for us in such a variety of ways, that the earth is sustained by your power, by your will, by your love for us. We thank you for the beauty of the nature all around us and all those things that remind us of you. The peacefulness and the serenity of this, our island home, the familiar hills that surround us, the regularity of the tide that comes in upon the shores, for the creation of beauty, faithfulness and constancy. Yet greater than all of these, you have revealed yourself to us more fully than any other way in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. And while we thank you for our daily food, we thank you especially for our spiritual food, for the way in which you feed our souls. We thank you for the coming of Jesus, for all that his birth and his living on earth, his death and resurrection teach us. Help us in accepting your gifts to handle them with responsibility, that we may take them and use them for the purpose for which you created them, that they may always serve through our handling to glorify your name. Forgive us for our greed and our selfishness. Forgive us for our pride in what we think we have achieved. Forgive us for the way in which we convert things solely to our own use, forgetting the needs of others. God of mercy, look down on the weakness of our humanity, on the frailty of our earthly being. Send us your Spirit that our resolve may be strengthened, that we may be more worthy of our calling. In the midst of plenty, and as we thank you tonight, we pause to remember with concern before you those who today still go hungry, while the earth produces so much in some parts. Yet because of man's deviousness, there are those who starve to death. We think on those who tonight are ill throughout the world and will go untreated and unhealed. And while we live in peace and security, we think on those families and those people whose lives are destroyed and devastated by hatred, by envy and mistrust. We pray for those of our own community whom we know who need your help now. We think on those who are sick and those who suffer. We pray for all who carry the heavy burden of sorrow and grief and bewilderment. Pray for all who feel that the complexities of life are too great, who fear the future. To all such people, wherever the human spirit is crushed, wherever the human heart is broken, we pray that you will bring the gospel message of peace and love and forgiveness through whatever means, by whatever feet, or by whatever acknowledgement, the ministry of Jesus Christ, until every knee bows at his name, until every tongue confesses that he is Lord, until every heart and soul knows the comfort, the warmth, the peace, and the security of his love. These are prayers we ask in and through his sacred and precious name. Amen. Say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, you will have heard me say, I suppose, on many occasions before, that this next hymn is one of the most meaningful harvest hymns, especially to someone connected with the land and the harvest. It brings life and work and faith all together in a very, very meaningful way. Hymn number 8 on your hymn sheet. Hymn number 8. To thee, O Lord, our hearts we raise in hymns of adoration.
To thee rings sacrifice of praise.
some selected verses from the book of Genesis, right at the very beginning of the Old Testament, and the story of creation. I want to follow that with a reading from one of the Psalms. Then God said, "Let the earth produce fresh growth. Let there be on earth plants bearing seed, fruit trees bearing fruit, each with seed according to its kind." So it was. The earth yielded fresh growth, plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit, each with seed according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Evening came, and morning came, a third day. And further on, God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kind, cattle, reptiles, and wild animals, all according to their kind." And so it was. God made wild animals, cattle, and all reptiles, each according to its kind. And he saw that it was good. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, and likeness, to rule the fish in the sea, the birds of heaven, the cattle, all wild animals on earth, and all reptiles that crawl upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds of heaven, and every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God also said, "I give you all plants that bear seed everywhere on earth, and every tree bearing fruit which yields seed. They shall be yours for food. All green plants I give for food to the wild animals, to all the birds of heaven, and to all reptiles on earth, every living creature." So it was. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. Evening came and morning came, a sixth day. And then in the book of Psalms, Psalm 8, beginning at the third verse. "When I look up at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars set in their place by thee, what is man that thou shouldst remember him? Mortal man that thou shouldst care for him? Yet thou hast made him little less than a god, crowning him with glory and honour. Thou makest him master over all thy creatures. Thou hast put everything under his feet, all sheep and oxen, all the wild beasts and the birds in the air and the fish in the sea, and all that moves along the paths of the ocean. O Lord our Sovereign, how glorious is thy name in all the earth." So ends those two readings from the Old Testament. We sing a well-known, well-loved, familiar and traditional harvest hymn, number 5 on your hymn sheet. Number 5, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land, but it's fed and watered by God's almighty hand."
It is fed and clothed.
New Testament is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, in chapter 4, and it follows the account of Jesus' meeting with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman whom he met at Jacob's well. You may remember that story. But if you go on past that story in the same chapter, right on to verse 31, that's where we pick up our reading. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, have something to eat." But he said, "I have food to eat of which you know nothing." At this, the disciples said to one another, "Can someone have brought him food?" But Jesus said, "It is meat and drink for me to do the will of him who sent me until I have finished his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes harvest? But look, I tell you, look around the fields. They are already white, ripe for harvest. The reaper is drawing his pay and gathering his crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together." And that is how the saying comes true: one sows, another reaps. For I sent you to reap for a crop for which you have not toiled. Others toiled, and you have come in for the harvest of their toil. Many Samaritans of that town came to believe in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they pressed him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more became believers because of what they heard from his own lips. They told the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is in truth the Savior of the world." So ends the reading from the Gospel. May God help us to discover the great truths contained in his own word. Not aware of any special notices for this chapel for tonight, except to invite you to stay afterwards to enjoy a cup of tea and also the sale of produce. Put now your offering so that the work of God may continue here at Cherokeel and throughout this service will be received. Accept these our gifts, O God, for we offer them as tokens of our love for you. We offer them as tokens of our gratitude for all that you have given us and all that you continue to give us. And here with these gifts, we offer you ourselves. Take then all that we have and all that we are. Use everything in your service to build your kingdom here on earth and to glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Best thanks to our young stewards who lifted the offering, wielding those ungainly boxes with dexterity up and down the crowded aisle. Thank you very much for it. We sing the hymn number 13 on your hymn sheet. Number 13, O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to thee all praise and glory be. Thank you. I look up at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars set in their place by thee, what is man that thou shouldest remember him? Mortal man that thou shouldst care for him? What is man in the context of all that we're about here tonight? As we look at the splendor of God's provision for us so beautifully and so tastefully displayed in this chapel, as indeed it is in countless other chapels up and down Christendom at this time, we marvel at God's creation, at his faithfulness, at the things that he has created that have been sustained down through time. Some of them in spite of man rather than because of him. There is a saying, it's only natural, or back to nature, which comes upon us and which we often quote when things are going wrong. We want to get back to nature. If you take the present debate in the farming world at the present time of this disease that's rampant or supposed to have been rampant among cattle, talk about BSE, the cry now is for wholesome, real, natural food. And it speaks volumes to us as we think about God's creation and what he has given us. If we are in tune with nature, there is a sense of reality, of comfortable reality, of assurance that gives confidence, that tells us that no matter what is happening around us, things really are all right. We're looking the way God intended us to. You see farmers around the congregation tonight, and they will know too of things that I've often quoted at harvest homes when we're thinking actually about the harvest. Man plays really but a small part in the harvest. We know that without him and without his efforts, it wouldn't have been sown and it probably wouldn't have been gathered. But if you think about it, when the field has been ploughed and worked down to a fine till, and the seed has been sown, fertilizer applied, when it's then harrowed in and rolled down, you come out and you close the gate, and there is very little else that you can do except wait. Well, you may add a bit of pre-emergent spray or even post-emergent spray that keeps the weeds under control, but there is absolutely nothing that you can do that will compel that grain to grow. There's nothing man can exert on it. Once it's got the warmth of the sun and the moisture of the rain, and it's buried in the good earth, then it's over to God and his creation and his plan and his power. And that's a rather humbling thought. I've said this dozens of times, and I'll continue to say it because it's still true. And suppose there's a farmer, whoever hardened he is, or whoever blasé he becomes, who does not feel, well, maybe I've changed this a bit. I used to say it was a thrill of seeing the bruit coming through for the first time. Maybe it's relief. But things are all right. The seed was good. That it has germinated. And at least at that stage, there is the chance of a crop, and he watches its growth. Suppose in farm kitchen, somebody comes in and says, it's still a red letter day, you know. And somebody comes in and says, the bruit is up. And the field started to green over. It's still a special day when later on in the year, someone again, probably in the same farm kitchen, or maybe on the yard, or goodness knows where, says, I see the field is out in ear. Then it's beginning to turn, and then it's ready place for combining. And it's gathered. And in all of that, man has put the seed in the ground and left it to God. To this great natural miracle that takes place, this miracle of germination and growth and increase. God gives us these gifts at our disposal. We marvel at them, or we should do. The psalmist looked to the heavens at night and saw the stars and the moon. And he too was aware that since time began, they had been set in that position and had never changed. The navigators of a day gone by plotted their course across the path of the ocean by the stars. They were so reliable. No wonder the psalmist wrote, "When I look up at the heavens and see the work of thy fingers, asks then, what is man? And what indeed is he?" And sometimes, you know, we are so proud of what we have achieved. We think everything is down to us. It's all us, and if we wouldn't have done it, it wouldn't have happened. Well, there's a grain of truth in that, but it's only a very small grain. And I've told the story before of the American president, and I wouldn't know now which one, who, after a day of making momentous, world-shattering decisions, would take his friend and go out onto the lawn at night and stand as the psalmist stood, looked up at the heavens to the stars, and after a while, when they had been gazing up long enough, he would say to his friend, "Let's go in again. I think we're small enough now." And it was that feeling that he was grasping as well, that for all the influence he had among men, it was small compared to the influence that God exerted in creation. The land is sustained, and as farmers we try to look after it in a husbandlike manner. There are many, many other things that bloom and blossom and grow and are sustained without man even touching them, and as I said earlier, in spite of man. There's a great debate at the present time about our fishing rights. One must feel a sense of injustice as the rules of the EU are applied, which let foreign fishermen fish our waters while our boats are compelled to tie up in harbour. But out there is a harvest of the sea that we do nothing to sustain. Only very recently, as we've adopted sophisticated fishing methods, and as we're catching more than is good for the well-being of the sea's life, have we recognised that it could be injured? But we do nothing to restock the sea. We do nothing to make the fish there grow and develop. We send our fishermen out to gather that harvest for us, as they have done for generation upon generation. Of course, there is a danger that the fishing grounds will be overfished and the things will be abused. And here man's selfishness comes into play. God's gifts are not just used as he intended, they are abused. And our selfishness and our greed have discovered ways in which we can exploit what God has given us. And in fact, we begin right at the very natural part of our being to move away from God. God's gifts nowadays, things that he gave us to sustain us, aren't always put to the proper use. They're used for political ends. That's why, while we rejoice here in abundance and plenty, many, many parts of the world and many millions of people are either starving to death or at starvation's point. When we pray to God to feed the world, he He's done that already. If only we had the love and the care and the concern to distribute it in the way that he intended. Society today, in its what should be its thankfulness and its gratitude, is indeed turning the other way. Oh, if only we could get back to Christian principles. Greed and exploitation would disappear, and everyone would be able to thank God for the harvest. God's creation is a truly wonderful thing. The power with which he sustains it is beyond our comprehension, and yet the evidence that he does is here before us. Don't you marvel sometimes that, as it said in Genesis, a flower comes up according to the bulb that represented it before it ever started to grow? Everything grows in its kind. We can predict the colours. We can predict the formation. We can look at a flower and we have learned its name. It never varies. What is man, then, in the midst of all this, that God should regard him as his crowning glory? Man is greater than all of these. Greater than all that we marvel at, greater than the stars and the sun, the sea and the faithfulness and the regularity. Man was God's crowning glory, the pinnacle of his creation. And how does he value man, and how do we know that? Because if you read in John's Gospel, Jesus said there that God so loved the world, he sent him to be the only redeemer for the world, that anyone who believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what is man? In God's sight, we are more precious, we are more wonderful, we are more worthy than anything else he created. And if we could respond to God in the knowledge of that fact, then our greed would turn to gratitude. Then our pride would turn to love and to trust. And we would begin to live God's way. We would live the natural way. And what is nature? When we talk of nature and the natural way, we're talking of God himself. And if we would fulfill God's plan, as all these things that he has created do, then we must depend on him as they do. And we would glory as they glory, in an innocent fruition and blossom that would bring glory to God's name in every age and generation. As we thank God for the gifts of the harvest that feed our temporal bodies, let us also thank him for the gift with which he feeds our soul, the gift of Jesus Christ, and turn to him, live his way, accept his salvation, and then God's plan would truly come to fruition, and the world would change and become the place that he intended it to be. May God guide us all to this end, as we live out the rest of our days as part of his creation. Amen. Well, every Manx Harvest Home finishes with the Manx Fisherman's Evening Hymn. Tonight is no exception. We sing for our closing hymn, number 3 on your hymn sheet, "Hear Us, O Lord, from Heaven, Thy Dwelling Place." I suggest that the gentlemen sing verse 3 and the ladies verse 4. as we accept the bounty from your hand, that we use it with responsibility and for the purpose for which you intended it, that all may be fed, that all may know that you are God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each one of us, all whom we love, and all God's people everywhere, this night and forever.